enliven our Krishna consciousness. I would like to read today a verse from the Bhagavad Gita which describes a little bit, a great devotee of Lord Krishna and how he carries himself through life. As we soon will find out, this devotee goes through an intense period of tests and very deep spiritual challenges, but he is a glorious how he masters these. In the scriptures it says that it is very good to hear about such examples, because we can learn, and not only learn from them, but we can also follow their footsteps and attain a similar result in our spiritual life. There's a verse which is really wonderful. It's in the Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 4, which tells us exactly what is the benefit of hearing about the lives of wonderful and great devotees. I will immediately... the verse starts, Shrutasya pungsam suchira shramasya. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. And then it describes what is the speciality or the characteristics of these devotees. It says, pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, who awards his devotees liberation. This is a very essential verse, and to those who like verses and like to remember it, it's in the third canto, chapter 13, text 4. So we will do this today. The Bhagavatam is full of such glorious devotees of the Lord, who carry the Lord in his heart. And one of these devotees is actually the greatest of Krishna's, it's difficult to say the greatest of Krishna's devotees, but it is said this devotee is like Krishna himself. His name is Uddhava. Our verse this morning is from the third canto, chapter 2, text 6. Please repeat. I should give you actually the background in which this verse stands. It's a meeting of two great devotees, Vidura and Uddhava, and Vidura is asking Uddhava about Lord Krishna. Uddhava was the personal consultant and also very intimate friend of Lord Krishna, and had many pastimes with Lord Krishna. And Vidura, who was at that time on a pilgrimage, naturally wanted to hear about Lord Krishna from Uddhava. And when he met him on his pilgrimage, Vidura asked Uddhava, please, just tell me something about Lord Krishna. So now comes the translation of the present verse and the purport. It's very interesting. When Uddhava hears this question about Lord Krishna, he immediately seems to go somewhere else. He enters into a trance, and in the trance, he changes platforms. He is no longer on the human platform, but is on the totally spiritual platform, together with Lord Krishna. It's a very amazing verse, and you will need all your attention to follow the subject. Translation. The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane, and wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscence of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. Purport. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the eternal world, the external world. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. Now, it would be so nice to be like this. And when Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he, Uddhava, came down from the abode of the Lord Dvaraka to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. I still remember from a tape that once when Prabhupada was in New York, an American lady asked him with a very heavy American accent, "Are you here in New York?" Almost like, "Are you with us?" And Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not in New York. I'm in Vrindavan." Yes. A living entity, this is now something also for us, a living entity can live either on the material plane or on the transcendental plane. He can be in the material world or the transcendental abode of the Lord in accordance with his existential condition. Where do you live, Gaurahari? On the material plane or the transcendental plane? No need to answer this in public. The conditional changes of the living entity are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instructions given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya. And here is now Lord Chaitanya's words. The living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of the respective fruitive results of their own work, life after life. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. It's important. You engage actually in devotional service when you are becoming full of ruchi, of taste. This taste is also the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart, as one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it. The seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it finally reaches the planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord, even from the material plane, by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord, simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another, stronger tree, similarly the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. That Uddhava attained this stage is evident from his dealings. He could simultaneously reach the supreme planet and still appear in this world. So here we hear about Uddhava. Uddhava, the personal friend of Lord Krishna and his counselor, felt great pain in his heart after Lord Krishna had left the planet. But before leaving the planet, Krishna called Uddhava to his side and gave him a service, wonderful service. He said, "Uddhava, I will very soon leave you, but there is a service which I wish you to do. Please go to those devotees of mine who have not met me personally while I was on the planet Earth, and deliver a message to them. And this message is known in the world as the glorious scripture, the Uddhava Gita. It comes in the 11th canto and is more or less a continuation of the famous Bhagavad Gita. Later, so Uddhava, after the Lord leaves, goes with a heavy heart on a pilgrimage to finally reach those saints who had no opportunity to meet Lord Krishna while he was performing his earthly pastime. Do you know where these saints lived? Well, these are the saints who also listened to a personal message from Shukadev Goswami and Suta Goswami. But no, some of these saints had met Lord Krishna. The saints which we are hearing now about, who had not personally met Lord Krishna, lived in the wonderful sacred place of pilgrimage called Bararikashrama, high up in the Himalayan mountains. Who of you has visited Bararikashrama? Please raise your hand. Oh, you must go there. Anandini, this is a scandal. Bhagavad Dhamma, you have not visited Bararikashrama? Not yet. You must go there. It's really, in many scriptures it is said that the Lord is present there still to this day in his form as Nara Narayan Rishi. This is, there is where you usually in old times people would go to meet Krishna. Of course, we are oriented towards Vrindavan, there we meet Krishna in full, but this was the ancient style. You would go there. So these devotees had been so much engaged in the trance of meditation that they had no chance to meet the Lord. They were up high in the mountains. It was very difficult also to travel at that time. So Uddhava, Krishna says, I have a message for them. And they are meditating there. Tell them. And then he told Uddhava a long philosophical and spiritual work, the Uddhava Gita. So, yes. This was the service of Uddhava. And he traveled there. Now, on his way to Bararikashram, he met actually Vidura, who was on the pilgrimage, and Vidura asked him to discuss some, to tell him some Krishna Katha, really. I find it very, very interesting and very noteworthy how this great Uddhava, when he hears, tell me about Krishna, zhup, goes on the spiritual platform and meets the Lord there, and then comes back on the human plane, wiping his eyes, and then he starts his katha. It's a beautiful chapter. It's called The Remembrance of Lord Krishna. He really goes through all the divine pastimes of Lord Krishna, starting with his Vrindavan pastimes. It's a beautiful work. Yes. The reason why I'm so totally excited about this, I see you are still wondering, why is it so wonderful? It is because Uddhava gives us a very necessary example that if you want to be a devotee in this world, you have to be aware of what is called in Sanskrit the sadhya. Sadhya is the goal of your spiritual practice. There are three words which you must know if you want to enter spiritual practice. It's the sadhya, the goal of your practice. Then sadhana, the practice itself. And then sadhu. Sadhu is a devotee of the Lord who can instruct you in both the goal and the practice which is required to reach it. Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koya, the scriptures sing about the devotees of Lord Krishna. They say that even a little association with them can give us the highest benefit. Why? Because if you meet a sadhu, they will talk about Krishna, or they will talk about the process. They will talk about sadhya, the goal, and sadhana, how to get there. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the goal of Krishna consciousness is explained. Quoted. This. Would you like to know the goal, or is it? Let us see if you want this. The goal of Krishna consciousness is bhava. Bhava means at an ecstatic fascination and absorption with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are meant to become ecstatic devotees, O Jashvi. This is a goal, in simple words. Here's a full translation for you. When devotional service is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a ray of the sunlight of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and one is then situated in bhava, or emotion. Krishna conscious emotion. Let me say it a little bit more simpler, if you so will. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to be situated in the exalted stage of Krishna Bhavanamrita, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada told us that this word Krishna consciousness has been is a translation of this Krishna Bhavanamrita, to be full of the amrita, means nectar, of Krishna Bhava, thinking of Krishna. And it is said that this feeling of love of Krishna is like a ray of sunlight which will melt the heart, so that the heart is full of transcendental taste. I think as we look outside, we can appreciate a ray of sunlight. It is not yet coming. This looks like serious business. Lord Krishna seems to make a ring of snow around Goloka Dham, that no material elements can enter, and that there is only Krishna conscious ecstasy here. So I think in winter time you can appreciate very much a ray of light which melts the coldness away. So this is what we wish. We wish to have a ray of light in our slitzes, in our hearts. This ray of comes from Krishna himself, the Krishna Sun, and it will soften our heart with very good Krishna conscious emotions. So earlier Rupa Goswami has given a definition which links this exalted sadhya, or goal which we want to achieve and which we may not have achieved at the present moment. He links this with a practice, a sadhana. It's another very famous verse which I would like to quote to you now. It goes like this: Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhyo bhavasa sadhana binda nitya siddhasya. Nitya siddha means the eternal perfection. Bhavasya of bhava. Prakadyam kriti sadhyata. He now explains how we can get there. He says, when transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. In other words, you do something with your senses according to certain prescriptions which are given. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. Acha, it is already there, and you only need to awaken it. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potentiality of devotional service in practice. So the devotee, let me summarize, practices in this world according to certain sadhanas, means practice. Either there's the Vaidhi sadhana or the Raganuga sadhana. And these practices are meant to awaken our eternal potential of which is our the nitya siddha, the real treasure of every one of us, which is at the moment sleeping. It's the treasure of ecstatic Krishna consciousness. Is this clear or is this not clear? Yes. Then you look still a little. The morning blues has you. Morning blues means not yet 100% there. I will give you now a very simple example. When there is a child who is not yet walking, you have to give the child a little practice. And as a child goes into this walking practice, he will start to walk very nicely and awaken his inherent tendency, which is to walk. So, in the same way, the different forms of sadhana are made to awaken us to our perfection. However, this is not happening when you do it in a mechanical way. If while you practice, you do not have a very clear idea of your goal, you will not reach. I have seen children who, you know, came in the age where they should start to walk. But somehow, maybe by some biological problem, I'm not so good in child pedagogic, they didn't have this in their mind to walk. I'm told by my parents that I was such a child also, that I just didn't want to walk. I wanted to sit. The life was I was very fat when I was a little baby. And I would just look around and would be perfectly happy, and I saw no reason to start walking. Absolutely no reason, and I protested vehemently. I had no such goal to start walking. I remember a little later in my own life, it was one, I was forced to think about this in two ways. First, in a very Krishna conscious way, I started to turn around after maybe 17 years, or was it 20 years of spiritual practice. I began to turn around and look into the last 20 years. It says, let us sit down and look what you have truly achieved so far in your spiritual life. Are you an ecstatic devotee? Do you have love of Krishna in your heart? Do you feel spontaneous attraction to Krishna? I was asking such questions to myself. And I must admit, I continue to ask these questions until one day I was in Serbia. I had terrible back pains. Since we were preaching in Subotica, I had actually heard of the famous Lake of Palic. Have you ever heard of the Lake of Palic? Yes, it's a beautiful lake. And I decided, because I'm from the coast, and rowing is recommended for the back problems, I decided to take a rowing boat. And I remember I was very enthusiastic, because in my childhood I had rowed on the ocean, and I really liked it. So I was just, the people said, do you know rowing? Yes, first class rowing, and so on. And but soon it will get dark, no problem. And then the devotees could almost not keep me from jumping into the boat and, you know, starting to go. I remember Madhva Muni came with me in that boat, but he was not allowed to row. He just had to sit there and encourage me to row. Give it all you got, and so on. Anyway, so I started to row. Very enthusiastic. I closed my eyes in pleasure of rowing, and a little back pain was also a reason. And after some time, I looked up and I saw we were just going in circles because one arm from the chanting arm is a little stronger than the non-chanting arm. And it was, we were going in circles and it was becoming dark. We were in the midst of the lake and going in circles. Madhva Muni had not interrupted me because he saw I was really in the ecstasy of rowing. And then I noticed, well, in order to get somewhere, I have to now fix a goal and stick with the goal. My rowing practice will only bring me to a goal if I actually have this goal in my mind. That means I need an orientation. Where do we want to go? And because it was really becoming late and the sun was setting, we had to fix the goal of, you know, where we got the boat from, the starting point of our journey. Really had to keep there, and Madhva Muni had to encourage me. You can do it. So, and then we could get there. This is an example. You can only achieve a goal through your practice if you actually have fixed a goal and you stay with the goal. And this is expressed here in a very theological language in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As you practice, you have to become aware of the perfection or the goal of your practice, which you wish to achieve. If you do not think of this while you practice, you may be like a person in a rowing boat who rows in circles. And after some time, has to ask himself the question, where am I actually? What have I attained actually in my spiritual life? Good. So, there is a very nice way how you can fix your mind on Krishna and on love of Krishna. And that is, if you become aware of your relationship with Krishna while being here in the world, and if you actually think and meditate while you do Krishna consciousness about Krishna. Because at the moment where you can actually feel a relationship, your heart will already become awakened to emotions. And I would like to give you an example, which maybe you can identify with. You have come on a festival, and maybe you do not know anyone in the festival. Now let us give the example of someone who is in this situation. I know many of you meet your friends here also, amongst other things, which is wonderful, very nice. But let us say you come on a festival and you do not know anyone. Usually, at such a time, you are a little subdued, a little, how do you say, passive, a little, maybe feel a little lonely, maybe feel a little strange, maybe even feel divided. Why did I come here in the first place? The moment, however, you meet someone to whom you know, something changes in your heart. Your heart goes out and becomes awakened. Oh! Bhagavatama! You are here? Yes, I'm here. And you embrace Bhagavad Dharma and you talk about Heidelberg and how is everything and oh, you have become so big. Things start to move. Huh? I'm sorry, maybe this was, you have become so elegant, I wanted to say. I had this experience when I first visited Russia for this Divna Morsh festival. There were 4,000 devotees. And I remember the day I walked through the crowd, all looked like coming from Kazakhstan and Mongolia. And I thought of very interesting faces, but... I just walked and then, you know, just walked and why do I have to come to such a festival? It's so long and we lost all our luggage. Why do we have to go there? And yes, I will give a lecture for an hour and everyone will say Hari Bol and so on. But I should be in Germany. I should preach to the devotees. I felt like that. Then I saw Radhanath Maharaj. And I ran. He was busy there. I embraced him and I felt, yes, I'm here. It was the best decision to come here. And the whole thing changed because there was a relationship. A feeling of a relationship to Krishna will change your whole outlook to life. Your whole practice will become enlivened if you become mindful of this. An absent-minded practice, that means a practice where you don't think of, in Sanskrit, the word is sambandha. Sam means complete and bandha means a bond. Eine Verbindung würde man in Deutsch sagen. That absent-minded practice will not be enough. Look at the... made such a point, and devotee said, Maharaj, we know you are always into these more contemplative aspects of the spiritual practice, but an absent-minded practice also works. Look at Ajamil. Ajamil, the old man, was on his deathbed, and he actually was dying, and as he was dying, he saw the dutas, the messengers of Yamaraj, who looked really horrible. They really looked very horrible. they looked... and he was... actually highly afraid. I remember once, I must admit to you, I have seen secretly a movie called Ghost. The devotee said, you must see this movie. And there was one like Ajamil, you know, the one person who really was bad, and he finally had a car accident and died. And these people who produced the movie must have read the fifth canto, or maybe the sixth canto, all of a sudden, you know, the atmosphere became ooh, And then from everywhere these dark creatures came. They came out of the gully, I felt very afraid when I saw them. And they got this person's soul and just took him to hell. This was in that movie. I don't think it is necessary to see the movie, but this is what I have personally seen in the movie. So these creatures are really there, and Ajamil was just so afraid that, like any dying person, he wanted to take shelter, and he saw his little boy, who he had named Narayan, you know, just near his deathbed, playing around, and he shouted, "Narayan! Narayan!" Many times, and at that time, the Vishnu Dutas came, and they told the Yama Dutas to go away. The messengers of death were sent back to Yamaraj. Now, sometimes devotees quote this story as an example that, see, Ajamil was not even thinking of Lord Narayan when he chanted Narayan. He was really absent-minded, as in terms of spiritual, of a satya, a goal of practice. He really thought of his son. So it's all right to be a little, you know, to practice Krishna consciousness and chant a little Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, finished. It's all right to, you know, just we can walk around, we do our things, we have our photo of our initiation when we were young and fired up. I also believe in Krishna, and so on. And to have such a half-dead practice, some devotees say, "Look at Ajamil. He's the proof." But the devotees who say like this or think like this have only talked about the first part of Ajamil's life. What did the Vishnu Dutas do with Ajamil? Did they send him to Narayan? Did they send him back to Godhead? No. They sent him to Haridwar, a place in this at the Ganga, where they encouraged him to take to a serious spiritual practice and think of Lord Krishna always. Ajamil went to Haridwar and did a marathon effort of sadhana. He visited all the temples. There are many temples which you, when you go today to Haridwar, which are related to Ajamil. He was there, he was doing helping the puja, and he was mainly hearing about Krishna and cultivating this consciousness, this Krishna consciousness. Only then he could go back to Krishna. You must know something about our Lord Krishna. Our Lord Krishna is a God of love. And a God of love means he is a God of relationships. For him, the relationships to devotees are of first and foremost importance. So much so that he sometimes becomes defeated by his devotees. He says, I can't repay you for your love. Naparayeham. There's a very interesting story which I would like to tell today. You know, I like so much these stories. It's about Lord Krishna came once to his famous and very nice meeting place. It's the Bandiravat, at a tree in Bandiravan. which is a beautiful banyan tree, and he was sitting under the Bandiravan, under the Bandiravat, and he was very, very happy there because he was surrounded by millions of gopis. Amongst them was Srimati Radharani. And these gopis sang to Lord Krishna. Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandalal. Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandalal. So the gopis were singing like this and glorifying Krishna as they often do. All of a sudden, Lord Krishna started to smile. Lalita and Vishakha asked Krishna, Gopal, why do you smile? And Krishna remembered his sakhas, his friends, and he said, I'm smiling because very often we come here with our friends, the cowherd boys, and we are wrestling. And I'm the best wrestler usually. I defeat everyone. I can even defeat the brother of your Sakhi, Srimati Radharani. I can even defeat Sridham. Which is not always true. Krishna sometimes gets defeated. And then he has to carry as a punishment, or let me say as a natural consequence, the Sridham on his shoulders. This is the truth. We have heard from Shukadev Goswami. This is a truth. So Srimati Radharani said nothing, but she smiled also. Then Lalita, knowing what was in Radharani's mind, said, Gopal, I believe you have absolutely no chance in wrestling when you wrestle with our Sakhi, Srimati Radharani. In 1 second you will be on the ground. Krishna was incensed. Then let us wrestle. And the Sakhi said, in 1 week this place will be decorated as a wrestling arena, and then you come and you wrestle with Srimati Radhika. The news was spread throughout Vrindavan, even by parrot post. It came to every nook and corner, and everyone assembled in Braj to be a witness of this wrestling match, except Nanda Maharaj and the older cowherd men and women. Only those who were in that same age, they came to Braj. They came to the, it is called in Sanskrit Ananga Ranga, the wrestling arena of Ananga, the god of love. You can know it is not an ordinary wrestling which took place at that time. When they arrived, Radharani was in one kunj, and she was decorated by Lalita and Vishakha, who also discussed the wrestling strategy with her. She was dressed in the outfit of a wrestler. Krishna was at another place, and he was also dressed, and he was massaged by Madhu Mangal, so that he would be top fit for the wrestling match. And after Madhu Mangal had coached him on 1008 wrestling tricks, Krishna was ready and fully confident. He was led by Madhu Mangal into the wrestling arena, where all the the Sakhas, the friends of Lord Krishna, and the Sakhis were waiting for the for the divine Leela to unfold. So as Krishna was passing by the place where Srimati Radharani was made ready, and ladies need a little longer to get ready, so she was still there. A beautiful fragrance emanated from the kunj, the fragrance of a blue lotus flower dressed up or covered with sandalwood and other very fragrant substances. It was the fragrance of love, the fragrance which came from Prema Rupini, the form of love, Srimati Radharani. And as this Krishna was smelling this beautiful fragrance, he started to totter. Madhu Mangal said, "Please compose yourself. You can't show any sign of weakness before this wrestling match." Krishna was, "Bring me to the arena, please." And Krishna needed to actually hold himself on the shoulder of Madhu Mangal. So Krishna was waiting in the arena. Then Lalita and Vishakha, who had discussed the strategy, brought Srimati Radharani to the wrestling arena. And as Srimati Radharani, the form of love, entered the wrestling arena, no one could look into her face because she was fully veiled. And do you know what is a veil? A veil in German is ein Schleier. Is it a veil? Do I say it, Sangeeta, in proper English? Veil. It is not visible. She was not visible. But it was not just a face veil which went up till here, like the Braj ladies always do. She was totally veiled with a cloth. As soon as Krishna saw the form of Srimati Radharani, still veiled, Krishna was overcome by the love, and he started to profusely perspire. You know, he drops like beautiful pearls appeared all over his body, and he began to shake even more, even in the knees. Madhu Mangal said, "Don't be afraid, she is only a woman. Don't show this extreme weakness. This is an important wrestling match for you to proclaim your glories." So at this moment, Vishakha, who was acting as the referee. Referee means in German the Schiedsrichter. I hope it's the right word. Referee, who is correct, who wins, and who's down and who's up still. The referee. Vishakha said, "Let the wrestling match under the Bandiravat commence." There was a loud noise which announced the beginning of the wrestling match. So at this time, Lalita gave a sign to Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani lifted her veil and looked from the corner of her eyes at Krishna. And the moment Srimati Radhika's glance, love-filled glance, fell on Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna just fell down backwards, bang! And at this moment, the gopis exploded in joyful song. They started to wave an aratic flame and said, "Srimati Radharani ki jai!" They said like this, and they began to sing an ecstatic kirtan which proclaimed the ongoing glories of Radha Rani. Just let us think for a moment about this. The same Lord who is declaring since time immemorial, Aham Savasya Prabhava Matas Mitya Pravatate, that I am the cause of everything. Everything means all the universes, all the spiritual worlds, and everything rests on me, just like pearls which are strung on the thread. This same Lord falls over and goes into a state of murcha or unconsciousness. Why? Because there is a loving relationship. A relationship to Srimati Radharani. All the Sakis go wild and they proclaim Srimati Radharani as the victor, the one who attained victory in the Ananga Ranga, the wrestling arena of love. And all the Sakas look down. She was defeated before. She just needed to look at him and he was defeated. But at the end, obviously everyone is just in pure ecstasy. Yes, so this is a relationship. Our Lord is a relationship-oriented Lord. He is into relationships. He is very much wanting a relationship with his devotees. Now, of course, this pastime is happening in the spiritual plane, in the highest spiritual place, Goloka Vrindavan. You might say, you tell such pastimes, but could you please also tell if this has even anything to do with us, Sachinandan Swami? And my dear devotees, it has a lot to do with us. Of all the qualities of Lord Krishna, there is one quality which the devotees in the material world meditate the most about. Do you know this quality? Oh yes, our Govinda Nandan is a Brahmana. It's called Bhakta Vatsala, and the quality is called Bhakta Vatsalatva. It means the quality of being Bhakta Vatsala, the friend. Krishna is the friend of his Bhaktas. He likes to take care of his devotees in this world. He likes to have a relationship with them. There is a very nice verse ascribed to Jagannath. Jagannath, I do not know if it is Jagannath Das Babaji, but the verse is, Krishna, when I heard that your first and foremost quality is Bhakta Vatsala, I became sad. Because I'm not a bhakta, I'm not a devotee. But when I heard further that you are also known as Dina Dayal, merciful friend of the fallen, then I became encouraged. Because that is me. I am very fallen and you give daya or mercy to the fallen. So now I know I have a chance. My dear devotees, in other words, it is safe and natural to say that every one of us, even a fallen soul like myself, can have a relationship to Krishna in this world. And it is important to think about Krishna as to cultivate the relationship. It's very, very important. Because at that moment, when you can think of Lord Krishna, if you feel a relationship, you think of Lord Krishna naturally. Bhagavad Dhamma, when we saw this, when we sang this bhajan, Krishna Govinda Govinda, and we sang Nandalal, were you thinking of your little boy? No? Of Krishna?
I was thinking of something.
Of something else, yeah.
I was thinking there are millions of gopis chanting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then I can't give Bhaktivatsala as an example. Now, see, a parent will always think of the child and be emotionally moved by that thought. So devotees have to learn to think about their relationship with Krishna. It is so important. Only then you can be moved. If you do not think of Krishna while you practice your sadhana, if you don't think of your sadhya, you will never get there. You will life is before you of dry devotional service. The only benefit is when you get a position and a lot of prasadam and so on. But ultimately that will also not satisfy you. But if you think during your practice of your relationship with Krishna, at that time your heart will be touched. This especially holds true when you chant the holy names. When we were in Radhadesh, I talked about these subjects to the devotees. May I ask you, who of you wishes to chant with great happiness and self-understanding? You don't need to point your finger. It's clear that everyone wants to do this. My dear devotees, if you chant the holy name of Krishna and you think of Krishna, you will actually very, very easily feel the result of your spiritual practice. It is very quickly felt. There is a prayer in this connection which wakes the chanter up to an enthusiastic chanting. It is called Agadhamana Yashodananda Nandasuno Kamala Nayana Gopichandra Brindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Iti Aneka Svarupa Mamaratya Uchevadatam Namadheya. It is from Srila Rupa Goswami's Krishna Namashtakam. And the prayer tells us how a devotee chants. He says, "My dear Lord, let my attachment to your many forms increase unlimitedly. You are Agadhamana, the killer of the demon of sin. You are the beloved child of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. You have lotus eyes, Kamala Nayana. And you are also the moon of the gopis, the gopikas, Gopi Chandra. And very interesting, very important for me, you are the Lord of the fallen, Pranata Karuna. No, the Lord of the surrendered souls. Please, let my attachment to you increase unlimitedly. This is how a devotee enters into Naam Bhajan. He will pray this his attachment or his sambandha, his relationship with Krishna will grow unlimitedly. I want to now wrap up the lecture, means I want to come to the end. Let me please summarize the main point of this wonderful subject. I have seen over the many years of Krishna conscious practice, I would say, of trying to have a Krishna conscious practice, that sometimes devotees are dry inside. I have also read many letters of devotees who have given up the process of devotional service, and very often they said, we had no emotional fulfillment. This points us in a very serious direction, that emotional fulfillment is there, or the fulfillment of the heart is there when there is a relationship. So as your sadhana, your practice, you have to become, you have to be aware of the satya, the goal. And if you are aware of Krishna, then your life will be sublime. This lecture may mean many things for different devotees who listen to this subject. One devotee might think, okay, this is a point which is interesting. It's not entirely new, but well, in this with this perspective, I will think about this in my life. And such a one devotee might say, well, for me this means I must know more about Krishna. Other devotees might feel, well, my Shraddha is not really very strong. I must also think a little bit about that I'm an eternal soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. I want to really also study our philosophy and understand it. Others may think, well, when I do kirtan, I'm so absent-minded. Maybe I should look at the deity more when I do kirtan and sing for them. Another one might think, well, my service is really mindless and absent-minded. I will make a change now. Whenever I cook, I will think in my mind, this is for Krishna. What does Krishna like? And I will just spice it in just very proper spicing, I will put there. Other devotees might think about their life situation. Oh, I am in such a life situation. I'm so stressed. The symptom of stress is that I can't really think of anything else than my stress. This is not good. I'm not going anywhere if I continue like this. I must do something to change my stress so that I can really start to think of my relationship. For 1 million devotees, this point of practicing your sadhana with thinking of your satya may mean 1,000,002 things. Yes, someone might say, I will have different ways to practice this. But whatever, wherever you are and whatever is your personal expression of thinking of Krishna or building up your relationship to Krishna while you do your sadhana so that you get there to the goal, that please do this. This is the message of this particular lecture. I hope you have received it with an open heart. And I much more hope that you will now start to think, maybe discuss with devotees while you're here. This festival is a unique opportunity for all of you to get to know each other more, to discuss. We have made endeavors to not put it full with so many program points. But I would highly request you to please take part in the spiritual programs, because that will give you a lot of strength and a lot of enthusiasm, and to associate nicely with each other and to serve. those of you who are Brahman initiated and know how to perform an aratik, my tip to you is go to the pujaris and ask them if it is possible for you to come on the altar and do do aratiks or anything you know for Radha Madan Mohan. I think it's very important. Some of you were Brahmin initiated last year in the summer camp and other places, and I really wish to encourage you to make good of your Brahminical initiation, which is actually given only for this point. The Gopal mantras which we give during the Brahman initiation is meant to establish a direction in your life so that you can go to the Satya. You can know who is Krishnaya, who is Govinda, who is Gopi Janavalabha. So the goal of your practice, and then you can get your Satya. So he's standing on the altar, and please do something for Radha Madan Mohan if you're Brahminically initiated. And don't miss the chance of an ecstatic, emotionally, spiritually fulfilling Krishna consciousness. Okay. Thank you very much. Today we have fasting up to 12 o'clock, so I thought you would not be angry with me if I talk a little longer. I want to see if there are a few questions, and then we will stop the lecture. Vishaka, a question asked by a wonderful devotee. So, Vishaka's question I would like to repeat for all of you so that we can think a little bit. Vishaka says, a devotee may be aware that his practice has become mechanical, and he may also want to change it, but it does not happen. He cannot change it. So Vishaka's question now is, what actually has to happen? Was muss geschehen? That there is a change in this practice of Krishna consciousness. No. Vishaka, you need to find out where will you get bhakti from. Which address can you find bhakti? Because when you put bhakti into your practice, love to Lord Krishna, you will put the spark to your practice. See, a car, I don't know so well, Gaurahari might know the example better, but a car has these spark plugs. Is it called spark plugs? I'm always looking to our English department, Sangeeta, what is it called? It is spark plugs. Oh, I'm having my success moments in the English language here. You know, in Deutsch it's a Zündkerze. You know, you may have a first-class car, but if you have no Zündkerze, no spark plug, it just can't start going. Everything may be there, you know, the electronics and the board computer and the, even you might receive, the directions. You know, there are now car computers where you can look exactly where you need to go, and it says, right, no, you idiot, you made a mistake. Turn around. You know, you can have it in different intensity degrees. You can also have the neutral announcement, you know, without the without the kick. But if there's no spark plug, you go like vroom, 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 and it doesn't even make vroom, vroom. It just makes nothing. You know my example. It may not be 100% accurate, but the principle is there. So we need some bhakti in our practice, Vishaka. so that it does not remain on the mechanical platform where we really don't get anywhere. It's just a mental practice. It's just, in this practice you can think of high philosophy and you can do anything and everything, but it will be just on the mental platform. It will not have life, the transformative power of real life. So bhakti, we need to know where to get the spark plug from, and we get it from the sadhus, from the devotees of Lord Krishna, who have bhakti in their hearts. We need to go to the bhaktas. Bhaktas are not just the ones who don't know anything. the newcomers. Bhaktas, we say bhaktas are the devotees of the Lord, Krishna bhaktas. And we should go to them and not be afraid of them. One thing of us is always afraid to go to devotees. Especially we don't want to go to our guru and ask him, what can we do? Is there some service you wish to do, me to do, and so on. Because, see, there is one thing in the material world which I know very well. I mean, I'm the best example of this. Whenever you may want to make spiritual advancement, but at the same time there is a resistance against it. It is funny. I only know the word schizophrenic. One side of you wants this, the other wants this. And this is unfortunately natural for the covered soul. See, when you find an object which is at rest, if you wish to move it, the first thing which you feel is a resistance. This has a strong resistance because it somehow locks in with my hand. Ein Widerstand, ne? Anything which is at a certain place in life will resist against change and against movement. Also, the consciousness. You may understand from your mind, I'm suffering, this is not life, this is really only the, it looks like life, but it is not real life. But when it comes to do something, there's so much of a resistance in the consciousness. And this resistance can only actually be overcome by good association. You know, we had this yoga, this yoga workshop, and Vishaka, there was an exercise, you know, which with my back situation, I thought I would never even look at it, so dangerous. And then everyone went up, you know, the full bridge, you know, you bend back, and then you're with it, and it really looks like Mr. Yogi personified. The yoga instructor said to us, go back, challenge yourself, you will find out that prana is the one which moves you, not the muscles. And then he moved us to the position which is before this. So you're on the back, and I thought, I know what is coming. the full bow is coming. And then, you know, I saw Gaurahari going up. I thought, Gaurahari is Mr. Yoga. Then I saw Janajamadi going up. Then I thought, yes, Janajamadi, you can go up 1,000 times. I will be in the fully resting position for this exercise. Then I saw others going up. Then Gauranga's own sister went up.
Then I thought, now I'm also getting up. And somehow, zhup, for 1 second, the full bow pose was, it was not you can't put it in a yoga book, you know, of dynamic poses. But yes, it is magical. We human beings are wired like this. So especially so association works this magic, and especially devotees. You are living in a very nice Grihastha ashram. You are very active in preaching. It's wonderful. You might like to think how you can have a little bit more this type of association which sparks something in you. And many of us get this by associating through sound. Like I have made significant turns in my life by listening to lectures of Srila Prabhupada. It has happened. I was thinking, I have really made really changes by this. Also, you now at the festival look out for Krishna conscious friends and ask them, how are you doing this? Good devotees. Look also for more advanced devotees who might even challenge you, not by their words, but by what they do. Don't always look for association which is exactly on your level. That is another tip. Bhakti also lives in the spiritual processes, and bhakti lives in places of pilgrimage also. But mostly, and the most easy access to bhakti is in the hearts of the devotees. There's one verse which I read many, many years ago in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was in Vrindavan. It's an amazing verse. It's about a devotee. This is also quoted in the Bhakti Sandarbhas. Maybe I read it there because I'm reading them at the moment. There is a devotee speaking that what had happened to me. Was ist nun mit mir geschehen? I used to be so fixed on my household activities, you know, cooking and taking care and cleaning. But I have changed totally. I have developed total different interests. What has happened to me? And then he thinks, you know, what could be the cause that he has changed so much and that he's so much now fixed on Krishna and he can't stop chanting and so on and so forth. And then he goes through many, the verse is very clear, that only one explanation is given in that verse, but the devotee must have thought many things, you know, did I eat something? Or, you know, what changed me so much? And then he said, no, it came on the day. The door of my house was a little open and I saw this great devotee walking by my house chanting Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then he was already gone, you know, because it's only the doorway, you know. I saw him. And since that time, I feel such ecstasy in my heart. I don't know what has happened to me. This shows you how even this devotee was not full of knowledge, apparently, you know. He didn't look for that association, apparently. And I have something like this also. I remember once, it was early in the morning, I was freezing so much. And I had made that impossible desire to go on Vrindavan Parikrama. I always like to go really early in the morning. And And so we were starting to walk. Another devotee was with me in the darkness. And I was very body conscious. Oh, it's too cold. It's too cold. Why am I always making such crazy decisions in my life? And then there was a devotee before us. Vishaka, I cannot forget this devotee. He was just going, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. A very old devotee. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And I walked behind him, and I felt like, wow, he's really in Krishna consciousness or in Radha consciousness. I mean, oh, but he's so old. And I just felt so inspired, you know. He was just going, Radhe, Radhe. He was very enthusiastic. And then I felt really blessed by this devotee. And I felt, I will read now more about Radharani. Yes, Prabhupada also said, this is Vrindavan, the place of Radharani. And they chant more Radharani than Krishna, Radharani's name, the Krishna's name. I must inform myself about this. I remember something started in meeting this nice devotee. Then I overtook him. I ran against someone else at a tree or something. Hare Krishna, hello, mercy, mercy. And then I started to run. Yes, this is a very good devotee. It's very necessary to have. Even Lava Mata, a small second, is sufficient. It is said like this. This was a Lava Mata of association. Yeah. So please think about this now, analytically, in your Vishaka way, and try to find out how it might work for you. I would like to repeat Ujjal's question to all of you. Krishna took his associates with him when he appeared in this world, and he took them back when he disappeared. Why not Vidura? He was an associate. He kept a few associates for special services in the world. Another is his favorite parrot, who later became Shukadev Goswami and spoke the whole Bhagavatam. Yes, he took all the Yadus, his associates, with him. There are a few exceptions that a few associates stayed a little longer and then went. They had a short-term mission. Just like you have a short-term mission in Germany, then you will return to Bangladesh. Yes, so few had a short-term and others had a long-term mission to do, but ultimately they all went to Krishna. They came a little later, after the mission was completed. Thank you very much for coming, Ujjal. We feel very honored to have your association. And we also liked very much how you say, how do you say Krishna?
Krishna.
Yes, wonderful. You say wonderful. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Will you permit me to see if someone else has a question? And then, if no one has a question, we will return to you. Bhagavati asked the question that we should think about our relationship to Krishna in this world, but we don't know our relationship yet. So isn't there the danger that we will just have a mental projection? We will imagine something, and this and Krishna will not really reciprocate this relationship.
I remember this. This projection is like devotees, you know, looking for a parking place. Krishna, I think we'll love this Sankirtan Yagya. Krishna, give us a parking place, please. Oh yes, there's a car going out of the parking place. Certainly Krishna has arranged this for us. Oh no, another person went into the parking place before me. Oh, Krishna must hate me. I think he doesn't like me to go on Sankirtan today. Let's go back to the somewhere else. This is an example, could be an example of what you're talking about. Something like this, a projection. Hare Krishna. Yes, I have seen many of such projections in myself. Therefore, we require guidance, Bhagavati. What is often expressed is, you know, when these great devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur express themselves in the way of a conditioned soul, they bring out their hearts to Krishna. Oh, Gopinath, I am a sinful rascal. My heart is ruled by lust. You know, they sing like this. Gopinath, is it that because I have given you up, therefore you have also given me up? The question. Oh, Gopinath, my mind is not under my control. How can I reach you with such a mind? There's only one chance, that you please come into my heart, and then you take on the control of my life. These are very, very, these prayers will always be answered by Lord Krishna. A very devotee thinks, follows the guidance of great personalities. And very devotee hears a lot on of Krishna in this spiritual world. I think we all know that Prabhupada, he had a feeling that he most probably could not finish the whole 10th canto, and therefore he went ahead in the midst of his translation, gave us a summary so that at least we have the leelas. And then can think of Krishna. So yes, we need to be aware of projection, and I will talk about this subject on the disciple meeting. You have read my mind. We need to be aware of projections, and it is for this reason that we are very careful in talking Krishna Katha, because very often there are projections when devotees hear Krishna Katha, and they don't have the I said something which I didn't mean like this. We are not going into certain aspects of Krishna Katha, which are the most confidential aspects, because there will be projections in the hearing. It has to be, the medicine has to be administered very carefully so that there is as much as possible an avoidance of mishappenings in this regard. I mean, we hear a lot, we must hear Krishna Katha, but certain aspects where the conditioned soul cannot help himself, you know, it starts, the very confidential exchanges between, it is described in scripture that it is almost invariably the case that when we hear certain things, we just cannot keep our mind from running and interpreting in a material way. Yes, no, you should see very in a simple way, Bhagavati. We are a part of Krishna. We live because it is Krishna who lives in us, in our hearts. And we have a relationship to him. And we pray to him to take away the ignorance from our heart. And so on. And I will talk more about projections, all these fine things, like what is, when do you know it comes from the mind, when is it something real, and so on, will come Sunday. Yes, please wait. I'm now feeling, Maritza, I have seen your hand and your question will be answered, do not worry, but I see it's now 9:55. We are sitting here since a long, long time. And if you permit me, I will now request you to do something else than sitting. That's so nice to have some all of you. And I hear this is nothing. So I mean, nothing means in terms of the crowd. It's everything in terms of you. You all have fully come, but so many more guests have announced their arrival. Krishna. Today is Saturday. Okay, we will see each other again for the Bhagavad Gita lecture in the after the arati. All the best and Hare Krishna. I just want to ask Bhagavad Dharma Prabhu to come after the lecture to me. Gauranga and Nishinga Priya, the three devotees. If you wish to see me, please make an appointment with Gaura Hari, who has only this service today. And please, it may not be possible for me to see everyone. But I will try my best. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.